King Jesus will judge the nations based on how they treated him. It is an evidence of where you are by how you treat Christ. You can say, I love the Lord Jesus all you want, but if your life betrays that, maybe you have not been saved.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, but instead I'd just like to share an invitation to our listeners. You see, we're just about a week and a half away from the 65th anniversary VCY rally. Wow, God has been so faithful to get his word out on VCY for 65 years. And so on Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m., we're going to be praising God at the Waukesha Expo Center, and I'll be sharing the Word of God. So won't you join us at the Waukesha Expo Center at 6 p.m. Saturday, April 25th? Doors open at 5. Admission is free. And we'd love to see you there, and I'd love to meet you.
And Greg, your message today focuses on Christ's judgment of sin when he returns the second time.
You know, Dave, this is going to be a terrible time. It's going to be a time of wailing and great sorrow, and yet it's also going to be a great time of victory and joy as the Lord defeats his enemy and sets himself up on his throne. Now, we're going to look at these events today. So if you have a Bible handy, turn to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be focusing on verses 31 to 46.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
The stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes, really of the land, it's a better translation, will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Our passage is speaking of the visible return of King Jesus, the Lord, back to earth. And this is the first thing that he will do after he has slayed his enemies. As we will see, he will sit on his glorious throne. Now, we don't have time to go through this, but Scripture reveals that at the end of the tribulation, the seven-year period, Daniel's 70th week, when God is making an end of sin for Israel and bringing an everlasting righteousness, Daniel 9:27, that immediately after the end of that tribulation, which we've seen in Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus will come personally back to earth. Now, the day and hour are not known, but he will come after the end of the tribulation. And if you read Revelation 19, we see that he will slay his enemies in Armageddon, the battle of Armageddon. He will slay his enemies. He will throw the beast and the false prophet in hell, and he will throw Satan in bonds for 1,000 years. And he will slay all of those who had come against him, who thought they could take on the Lord. He will slay them with the sword of his mouth. We see that in Revelation 19. Jesus Christ will come back and defeat his enemies. Zechariah 14. Turn there with me. Zechariah 14. It's just before the New Testament. A book or two there. Zechariah 14. This is the future. And God is declaring it to us. Zechariah 14. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil will be taken from you and divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses will be plundered, the women will be ravished, and half the city will be exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. That is right where the Lord is right here telling his disciples. You see, the Lord God will allow the nations to come against Israel in their wickedness, and Christ will come, a deliverer will come from Zion. He will use that purging, as we see in Zechariah 13, to change the hearts of Israel, but yet he will judge the nations, as we will see. And in that final battle in Revelation 19, he slays all of those who have come against him, but yet there are those who are left on the earth. There are those believing and non-believing Gentiles, as we will see, that are left on the earth. This is not speaking of what people call the rapture. Christ will come for the church. He will harpazo, 1 Thessalonians 4, forcibly grab us. We will meet him in the air if you are in him, and we will go to be with him forever. He's not coming here and staying here and planting his feet. John 14, he goes to prepare a place that's not here, but away from here, that where he is, we may be. But this is speaking of his second coming, his coming to earth. But when the Son of Man, Matthew 25, 31, comes in his glory, no one's going to miss this. It is God in his glory coming back. And all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And notice what is the first thing Jesus shares he will do here. And all the nations will be gathered before him. All the nations. You have those who came against Christ in the Battle of Armageddon. They've been destroyed. They've been slain with the sword of his mouth. But you have the rest of the world. All the nations will be gathered before him. He has conquered his enemies. He is sitting on his glorious throne. And the nations that are left are gathered to him. These are the Gentile nations. The word is ethnos. It speaks of Gentiles. It doesn't speak of Jews. And they, as we see, are divided into two groups. Look at verse 32. And all the nations will be gathered before him. And notice who does the separating. And he, that's speaking of the Lord on his throne, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. The Gentiles who have survived God's wrath, they have survived this tribulation period. They will be gathered unto Christ. He will be sitting on his throne judging. He will separate the Gentiles, the sheep and the goats. On the left and right, the judgment has begun. And as we see, there are two groups here. There are sheep and goats, as we will see. We'll see there are those who are righteous. They are those who are accursed. They are those who are dependent on Christ. They are like sheep. They are those who are independent. They are like goats. The judgment has begun, and there are two groups in this judgment. But yet in our passage, there is another group that we need to know about. Otherwise, we will misinterpret this passage. Notice down in verse 39, we have a third group that Jesus speaks of. He says in the middle of verse 39, these brothers of mine. The Gentiles are being judged. They have been separated, and it is based on how they treated these brothers of mine, Jesus says. Well, who are these brothers of mine? What does he mean by that? You see, this passage is so misinterpreted. There are so many Christian groups that use this passage as their text to go out and be doing feeding programs and different things to help the world in their poverty and in giving them water, whatever it might be. That's not what this passage is about. And if we understand who these brothers of mine are, it makes it clear what's going on here. So who are they? In context, they are Jewish tribulation believers. Jesus is a Jew. Salvation is from the Jew. God took on human flesh. John 4:22, salvation is from the Jews, Jesus would share to the woman at the well. And if you remember back in chapter 12 of Matthew, Jesus made it clear who his true relatives were. Jesus doesn't call just every Jew his brother. Notice what he says back in Matthew chapter 12. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 47. And if you were with us in a Matthew study, Jesus' family, they weren't believers at this time, except for the mother. The brothers were not believers, we see in the book of John. And they were concerned about Jesus, that he was basically maybe out of his mind, he was going to hurt himself. They were totally wrong. 12:47, Matthew. And someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside to speak to you. But he answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. In the parallel passage in Luke, it says, whoever obeys the word of God, he is my mother, my brother. That's who I'm related to. When Jesus says, these brothers of mine, in context, he's speaking of Jewish tribulation saints, those who know him, they are related to him. And it's an amazing thing, because of Christ, We also are his brothers. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 2. We are in the family of God. He is the Son, and we are sons also. He is the Son, but we are also sons and daughters of the living God. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For this reason, he, speaking of Christ, is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing thy praise. What tremendous humility. God the Son became like us, and he trusted the Father as we trust the Father. He became like us, yet he is still God. In our passage, he says, these brothers of mine, in the context, it is Jews, and it is believing Jews in the tribulation. If you don't get that, you will misunderstand the entire passage, and you will be led astray by people who make this a do-gooder passage rather than a passage that reveals faith does work in true believers. And those who don't know him don't serve him. It's believing Jews. So you have two groups. At the end of the tribulation, you have the two groups of Gentiles, believing and unbelieving Gentiles separated. And you have one more group. That's all there is. Out of every human being that survives, there are three groups, believing and unbelieving Gentiles and believing Jews. Because when Christ came, he saved all of Israel as he promised. And they are all saved at this point. Look at Romans chapter 11. As Paul is sharing the discourse, what about the Jews? He shares that they haven't been put away, that God's plan is still for them to be saved, and that there are those, even in the body of Christ, who are very ignorant and falsely declaring that the church is Israel. It is not Israel. That is false. That is wrong. God will save the Jews. And when you hear someone saying that the church is Israel, you have to say, no, that's not biblically right. I can't trust that teaching from that person. They are so wrong on such a huge area of Scripture. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I do not want you, Paul writes, to be unaware, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation. There's those who don't believe Israel's still around. They think they're too smart. They're wise in their own estimation. Paul says, I don't want you to be wise in your own estimation. He says here that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and thus all Israel, not all of all time, but all at that time, will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. Right now, they don't believe. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers, for the gifts and calling are irrevocable. God declared he would save them, and he will save them, and he will use the worst time that will ever come upon this earth to purge them. Two-thirds will die, Zechariah 13. One-third will survive, and they, when they see the Lord God, they will mourn when they see the one in whom they have pierced, and they will turn, and God will give them a heart of flesh. He will put his spirit in them, and they will be saved. And there are those in the tribulation before that point who had been saved, 144,000, and those who had believed, those in whom God is speaking to here. So this passage speaks of three groups when Christ comes back. That is all there is left on the earth. Believing Gentiles, non-believing Gentiles, and believing Jews. And the judgment is based on how they treated his people. Notice back in our passage, he uses the analogy of sheep and goats. He separates the sheep from the goats. We have this analogy throughout Scripture that we are like sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are sheep. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And if you know anything about sheep, they are dumb. They are really dumb. They need a shepherd. But goats are different. Goats are independent. They don't need a shepherd. And that's the analogy. You see, goats are independent. Those who are apart from Christ, they don't think they need God at all. They are dependent on themselves rather than the living God. Now, there's one other thing I need to mention here in this passage. This is not the great white throne judgment which we see in Revelation chapter 20. That judgment, heaven and earth have fled away. It's somewhere in space that everyone who has been dead is raised, those ones who are not written in the book of life, and they are judged according to their deeds and then thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This judgment here happens on earth after the tribulation, and it is when Christ begins his reign on earth. The first thing he does is get rid of sin and sinners. So here we see the judgment will happen immediately when Christ comes, and it is everyone who is left. Let's take a look now specifically at this judgment. We're going to see that King Jesus will judge the nations based on how they treated him. It is an evidence of where you are by how you treat Christ. It is an evidence. You can say, I love the Lord Jesus all you want, but if your life betrays that, maybe you have not been saved. Verse 31, let's take a look first of all at the judgment of the blessed, the sheep, the righteous, those who will inherit the kingdom and eternal life. Verse 31, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. You don't get a choice in that. Christ is the one doing the separating, folks. It's up to his decision based on what he has declared. Then the king will say to those on his right, the first thing he says, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, and naked, and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Notice the first thing the king does. What a wonderful statement. After he has separated them, the sheep and the goats, he says to those on his right, come. You who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a wonderful statement. The first thing he says is, come. You who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. And notice it says here, verse 34, then the king will say, it's King Jesus on his throne, reigning as promised throughout Scripture. He is reigning. And he speaks to those who are blessed of his Father. We saw the blessed back in Matthew chapter 5. They are those who are contrite over their sin. They are those who are manifesting the character of Christ. They are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessedness in Scripture is intrinsically related to a right relationship with the living God. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Romans chapter 4, verse 7, Paul quotes the Old Testament. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins have been covered. You are blessed if your sins are covered. James 1:12, blessed is a man who perseveres under a trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. There's a relationship. Psalm 84, verse 12, O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in thee. And I've shared this passage before. Luke chapter 11, there was a lady who thought she would say something that Jesus would really approve of and she would get kudos for it. And it's Luke chapter 11, 27. And it came about while he, speaking of Jesus, said these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But notice how Jesus responds. But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. You see, if you have been redeemed through the blood of Christ, you have a new nature, you have Christ in you, you have the Spirit of God, you have the ability now to obey God's word, which you did not have before you were saved, and you are blessed. The king will say to those in his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father. These are those tribulation Gentile saints who endured through. They did not take the mark of the beast. They endured through the tribulation, and they are now entering into the kingdom. Notice what he says, prepared for you. It's personal. Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God has planned this all along. Come, inherit the kingdom. Oh, true believer, God has prepared things for us. If you're a true believer, we have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven, 1 Peter 1. A salvation ready to be revealed. We have an inheritance which is synonymous with eternal life in Scripture in Christ. Here our passage speaks of the righteous, as we will see, inheriting and receiving, the end of the passage, eternal life. Eternal life is tied up in a joyous, blessed relationship with the living God, and it is culminated when we are personally with Him forever, having been glorified. John 17, verse 3, Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It is a relationship with the living God. Remember back in the parables, those who didn't serve Christ, he said, I don't know you. You can't have a relationship with Christ if you are still in your sins, but Christ came and died for your sins. And if you trust in him, he will forgive you, and you will have a relationship with him. Now, on a side note, these are those who are alive at the end of the tribulation. They will go into the millennium and reign with Christ. They will be with Christ, inheriting the kingdom. Come, inherit the kingdom. But in Revelation chapter 20, we see those Jewish tribulation saints who died. They are resurrected, and they reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And we see we church-age believers will reign with him too if we endure. 2 Timothy 2:12, Revelation 5:10, we will reign with him on earth. What a fantastic thing. The first words out of our Lord's mouth to his people, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a wonderful thing. And someday for you and I, he will say those things to us. Come, it's time. We look forward to that eternal salvation culminated when we're with Christ. Now notice there's a justification here for why they are inheriting the kingdom. Notice the word for in the beginning of verse 35. For, here's the justification. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you had visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. These are things that Jesus says that they did to him. Jesus is saying, you ministered directly to me. You ministered to me. They were blessed because they had trusted in Christ. As we'll see in a moment, they are righteous because they have Christ's righteousness. But notice the righteous response of these Gentile believers. They don't want to take credit for something they don't know that they've done. Then the righteous, they're righteous, verse 37, will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink personally? When did we see you, a stranger, invite you in and naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? They're the righteous.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, what's the application for us today?
You know, the application is simply this. We do not know the day or the hour of his coming in judgment, but when he does come, the opportunity to repent and be saved will be over. Now also for us as believers, our opportunity to serve and live for him, at least on this earth, will be over also. So the application for us today is this. You're not guaranteed another minute on this world. Therefore, we must be ready at all times for his coming. Believer, are you living for him in all you do? Or will you be ashamed at his coming? And for those of you who don't know Christ, today is the day of salvation. This may be your last day on earth. Don't let the day go by without getting right with the living God.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.